Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. All right. So, you know, we talk about a lot of different subjects involving money and finance and the markets, and I'll stretch and drag anything I can into the financial tent to make it interesting for you. A financial lifestyle variety show is what we've developed here, and excited that we can bring you guests that are very interesting and dynamic and bring a lot of perspective. And if we can, we also like to bring fellow certified financial planners to speak with me. And that's what we've done this morning. I got lined up for you, and I'm excited to talk with George Sisti, certified financial planner, founder of On Course Financial Planning. They're a registered investment advisory firm and hails from Seattle, Washington, all the way over on the other coast, all the way over there. George is the founder, as I mentioned. He graduated with a bachelor's in mathematics from State University of New York. And after graduating, he served 6 years as a pilot in the United States Air Force. And then he went on to work for United Airlines for a couple decades. And then he made a career shift, and we'll be talking more about that shift with him, and established On Course Financial in 2004. So he's been at this a while. He does a lot of work with families, helping them, you know, have peace of mind and know where they're headed and how they can retire and not run out of money. And that's what it's all about. And I'm glad to have George. We took note of George. Beth found him. He's a contributor on MarketWatch.com. You can find his columns there under the Retire Mentors section. And we are really glad to be able to have him on. A couple of great articles we can talk about. George, welcome to the program.
Thanks, David. I'm happy to be here.
Happy to have you. And first and foremost, thank you for your service to our country while you're in the Air Force. I appreciate that.
Well, thank you.
Yes, we don't do enough of thanking our veterans and folks in the military, but we try. So I love your career shift, and you went from piloting people safely to their destinations geographically to now piloting and navigating them above, below, around the storms, and get them where safely land where they want to with their retirements.
Well, it wasn't by my choice. You know, I was flying, like you said, for United Airlines for over 20 years.
Yeah.
I was a relatively senior captain when 9/11 happened.
Ooh.
And I realized that perhaps my financial future wasn't as secure as I had anticipated. So after some pondering, I just decided to go back to school.
Right.
And at the age of 51, that was quite a shock. And one of the hardest things to do was to find the transcript that I, from my college days, that they wanted when I signed up for the CFP program at a local school here and did their distance learning. So I was able to continue flying and bring my books with me on my trip.
Yeah.
Spent about 2 years studying for the CFP program, which, as you know, covers the five fundamental foundations
sure.
of good financial planning, and it proved to be an exceptionally good learning experience.
Excellent. Well, you brought new meaning to the term distance learning.
That's true.
It's just, from wherever you are.
People don't realize the amount of just wasted time airline employees have on their trips, and so I was able to put it to good use.
Yeah, that's excellent. Well, that's very good. Well, I applaud your transition, and I've had my certified financial planner designation as well since 1998, and great foundation, great coursework and great education. And only, you know, it's a small percentage, George, as you probably know, of financial planner advisors who get the certified financial planner designation. I think there's only 70,000 or so in the country, and I don't know, probably a million advisors if you add up all the different categories.
Well, you know, it's important because it identifies what we should be doing with our clients. I'm a financial planner. I'm not a prognosticator. I'm not a predictor. You know, I'm not a market guru. I don't have any secret sauce to sell people, but I know, and so do you, David, that people need good planning. And good planning means they understand it. You know, we like to present to people a simple plan so that they can understand it, and therefore they can have the stick-to-itiveness in volatile times because they understand what they're invested in and what it's supposed to provide for them in the future. And
Excellent.
We keep updating them each year. In my case, we do an annual review
mm-hmm.
to see how you're staying, if you're staying on course.
Right.
And this is what gives people what they really need. They do not need the latest, greatest investment. They need
common sense. Dare you say common sense?
Common sense, comprehensive, and comprehensible planning for their family. And that's what we provide at CFPs, hopefully.
Yeah.
And that's what people really need. You and I both know that.
That's very true. Well, I'm here in the South, so I have to remind people that CFP doesn't stand for center-fired pistol. It's certified financial planner.
Okay. Oh, all right.
Well, thank you, George. I mean, that is what we signed up for. And I have to tell you, I read a lot of your material, and one of the things that really jumped out, there were a couple of them, but one of the things, and I know you'll indulge me to jump around a little bit with some of the things I read that you're putting on MarketWatch and the retirement tour section, is you had, this is a takeaway, and I'm like, I love that. I can't wait to use it. And I'll give you proper credit, of course, but it was, if you don't have a financial plan, you don't have a financial advisor.
Well, yes, of course. You and I both know how true that is. You have to have a plan that's appropriate for your investment time horizon, your goals, financial goals, which are personal, related to your family, and your own personal risk tolerance. And people think that financial planning is investing. You know it. When you get a new client,
sure,
or potential client interview, the first thing they want to know is, how are you going to invest my money?
Right, exactly.
And my answer to that is always, well, I have no idea because I don't know who you are.
Right.
But it's my goal, as we create this plan, as you provide the data that we need for me to create a plan for you, when we meet again and I'll present the plan to you, it's my goal for me to know more about your financial life than you do.
Yeah, that's true.
And usually we find out that isn't hard to do because people haven't got the time to think about insurance and their taxation and insurance and investing. They have families to raise. They have jobs to go to. They're not trained in these fields. So I think when they finally deal with somebody who can provide these plans for them and provide them that understanding, it's a huge relief.
Yeah.
Financial planning provides peace of mind, good financial planning. Provides peace of mind. And I define peace of mind as not having to worry about what you're going to do with your money today.
Yeah, that's well put. You know, it's funny that you speak to that, George, because one of the things I say is people got to have the time, the talent, and the interest to do it.
Interest. Exactly.
And, you know, a lot of people, I've had a lot of people come visit with me that are very talented, very smart, plenty of energy, not an issue of capability, but just simply don't have the interest or the time. And a lot of times it's the interest. They just, it's not what they're interested in.
Right. But the benefit of financial planning for them, when they do find someone who will provide this comprehensive and comprehensible financial planning, is that it brings peace of mind. And as advisors, peace of mind is our greatest value proposition. So many advisors are trying to pretend that they can beat the market, whatever that means.
Yeah.
Whether it's the stock market or even recently, it's the bond market.
Right.
Interest rates are low.
Right.
So I'm going to do something for you that's better than you could get at Vanguard or
right.
somewhere else. But that's not what people, my clients aren't looking for that. My clients, when it was a revelation to me when I finally realized it earlier in my career, is that peace of mind is the thing that people love the most about what we provide for them.
That's right. It's not necessarily, you know, beating this or beating that. Although, of course, some people, you know, would like to see that, but I, you know, it really
I'll
is.
I'll send them to you.
Yes. yes, I understand. They want it. And, you know, people want as much as they can get. But you're right. Peace of mind is really the whole point. And that comes from, back to the point of having an actual plan. You know, getting a product or investment brochure is not getting a financial plan.
No, it's not. A financial plan's a personal. It's the best way to describe it. Everyone's financial plan is different. And until we know our clients, we don't know what they should be doing.
Well put. George Sisti, ladies and gentlemen, certified financial planner, Seattle, Washington, and the website OnCourseFP. Of course, you know what the FP stands for. We're talking about it, financial planning. OnCourseFP.com. George is the founder of the company, and they're a fee-only registered investment advisory firm. And we'll talk more about what that means when we come back from the break. Talk about a fiduciary. What is it? Why you want it? What is it about? Quick break. We'll be right back with George.
Are you looking for a trustworthy local advisor for your investment and retirement planning, but you're not sure how or where to begin? Start by looking for a certified financial planner practitioner. Visit www.cfp.net to search for an advisor in your local area who's earned this highly regarded professional certification. Pick three CFP practitioners. Set an appointment and interview them. Ask questions. Listen carefully to their answers. Check references and research their firms with the Better Business Bureau. This PSA is brought to you by Holland Financial, who wants to help you to plan stronger. For more information, call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. George Sisti, Certified Financial Planners on the line, Seattle, Washington. On Course Financial Planning is the name of his company. And the website, OnCourseFP.com, for more insight. You can get his columns over at MarketWatch.com under the Retire Mentors section of the site. And that's what we did and found some interesting stuff that George had written. In fact, there's a number of things I want to get to. Let's tackle this fiduciary concept real quick, George, and then we'll drill down into some of your articles. You know, I know that as you position your practice, you work as a fiduciary. For those people who don't know what a fiduciary is, give them kind of the basic concept, and we'll talk a little bit about it.
Well, to make it as simple as possible, David, I think that our clients or potential clients and your listeners should understand that most people who provide investment advice or financial advice are not required to act in what we would call a fiduciary capacity, which means they are required to disclose conflicts of interest that they might have.
Sure.
And recommend investments to their clients that are in their clients' best interest.
Imagine that.
Most people just naturally assume, of course, my broker, my insurance agent, my financial advisor is acting that way with me. But the reality is, legally, the great majority of them are not required to act in a fiduciary capacity, but only in a suitable capacity, a suitability standard,
right,
which is what they're operating under.
It's interesting.
And there's a big argument in our business right now.
As
whether or not the fiduciary standard is going to be required for all people who give financial advice. And, you know, I'm neutral on the subject, surprisingly, because I don't know about you, but I've gotten a lot of clients who have experienced the, let's say, downside of a suitability standard.
Yeah,
when they start working for somebody who is acting in a fiduciary capacity, they notice the difference instantly.
Right. Yeah, I'm in your camp with that on that, George.
We're not allowed to say that, though.
Yeah, well, on two levels, yeah. I mean, people do experience that. And in fact, it's really remarkable how when people come in and I talk to them, and I'm sure you have the same conversation, and they realize their eyes are open that, you know, if they work for a bank brokerage firm or insurance company, you know, they're an employee. And an employee is going to have a difficult time. It's not impossible, but more difficult time versus an independent advisor adhering to such a standard of fiduciary care where the client's interests are put first and these conflicts of interest are addressed and all of that. And it is a big subject, and it is. I think I'm trying to wrap my mind around, George, is if this does become the standard in the future for all advisors, I really am trying to wrap my mind around just how huge of a ground-shaking earthquake that would be for the financial industry, and whether, you know, whether that's really been anticipated.
Well, I'm not optimistic that it will be. I just think the political forces are too strong in the other direction.
So that means that the individual investor should not wait around for any type of legislative or governmental intervention.
Oh,
they could actually
not be
self-determining, right? Go out and find a fiduciary.
Yes, and that isn't as easy as it sounds, because I would say that most people think that their advisor is working in their best interest. But I would say the easiest way to check is if on your brokerage statement you have an in-house mutual fund.
Mm-hmm.
That would be, to me, almost a disclaimer. That would almost be, okay, you're not.
Yeah, you're talking about like if somebody's working with the XYZ brokerage firm and they have XYZ mutual funds inside of that account.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But isn't it interesting, though, and just in the 11 years since I've been doing this, that a lot of well-known brokerage firms have changed the name of their family of mutual funds.
Right.
So it isn't easy to identify the fact that they are indeed in-house fund.
And to that point, the way a person finds out, this is a little bit maybe too obvious, George, but one way to find out whether the advisor is acting in a fiduciary capacity is to ask them.
I suppose you could, and I suppose there's a million ways to think you heard the word yes. But
well, that's one way.
And you and I both know that if it's not in writing
or
not in their disclosure documents,
yeah.
good luck on that.
Yeah.
And honestly, if they're working in for a company that advertises on television,
yeah,
probably a good chance that they're not.
Yeah. Well,
but that's not to say that people who are working in that capacity are dishonest.
No, not at all.
And that's one thing I think we do as opponents of the fiduciary standard. Sometimes we paint with a broad brush and
I agree.
Make it sound like if you're working with a retail broker, then you're not being well served. And we can't say that.
No, I think what's even greater or even more important is just really, and you spoke to this before, George, is it's all about disclosure. It's all about being forthright. You know, when I work with somebody, we give all fees and expenses, or everything is disclosed, how we're paid, everything is disclosed in writing before they sign the documents to set up an account with us. It's just, to me, it's just good business, but it also really avoids, so, you know, a lot of unnecessary complexity, and also lets somebody see if somebody is working for them and can really evaluate. Yeah, it's good. Very good. You're just joining us. George Sisti, Certified Financial Planner, is on the line with us, founder of On Course Financial Planning, and the website is On Course FP. We'll grab another quick break. We'll come back. I want to drill down. I'd love to get into the postcard, George, about investment advice, and can it all fit on a postcard or index card? We'll find out after this break. Stay right there.
Retirement planning doesn't have to be hard, complicated, or stressful. It also doesn't have to be done in a hurry or with sales pressure. Since starting Holland Financial in 1997, it has been David Holland's mission to help individuals, couples, and families plan their futures with personalized financial planning. David puts himself in his client's shoes and recommends products and services he would choose for himself or his family. If you'd like to learn more about Holland Financial or to schedule a one-on-one consultation with David, simply call 671-PLAN. That's 671-PLAN. No cost or obligation. Or visit planstronger.com. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And we're back with George Sisti, Certified Financial Planner. On Course Financial Planning is the name of his company, and OnCourseFP.com is the website. I saw the article back on MarketWatch, George, July 31st, 2015. Is this all the investment advice you'll ever need? And it looks like it was written about an index card where I guess I'd like to get the background story on this, and I'd love to dig in because there's a lot of great salient points you make in your article about what people, the essential ingredients really of a strong financial plan. So where did the index card come from?
Well, David, I read an article that referenced this card that said that the University of Chicago professor Harold Pollack
okay.
had written on a 4x6 index card everything you needed to know about financial planning.
Okay. An index card. All right.
Yeah, a 4x6 index card, and I thought, geez, well, I guess you could write, you know,
really small
half of the New Testament on half of an index card if you wrote small enough.
Right.
So I thought, I wonder how small he wrote and how much he said, and it turns out he only wrote about 9 pieces of advice on rather large print, and if you Google that 4x6 index card, you'll see there's pictures of his actual card, and I thought. Of course, the advice he gave was fine, but obviously you can't write everything you need to know about investing on one side of a 4x6 index card in rather large font. So I said, let's flip the card over and add a few more.
Yeah, I love that. Well, yeah, there were nine or so things that he had identified, and you put the card on some steroids here, George, and you brought it up to 20. And we'll go through. We've got time enough to kind of run through these, and you're just spot on. I love your summary, and you've really nailed it. In fact, I can see myself writing a similar article, and not to plagiarize, certainly not. But I love your take on this. So let's just run through them. Number one, and these aren't necessarily in any particular order, I would imagine. Max out your 401k or other equivalent employee contributions.
Right, that was Professor Pollack's number one, and obviously that's a good piece of general advice
okay.
that
good.
We give to everyone. But I think before you start that, you should get rid of any high debt, high rate, high interest consumer debt, and have a rainy day fund. You know, you have to save before you start investing. So
that was the first two things on my list.
Right. get rid of your high interest consumer debt, put a nice rainy day fund in place, and then start contributing.
There you go. Spot on. I agree. And then look for well-diversified funds. Look for low costs as opposed to fancy and slick and trying to chase last year's returns.
Right. He recommends the Vanguard target date funds, which are fine as far as they go. I prefer to have a little more diversification than those funds offer.
Yeah.
But I'm not a great fan of target date funds, but they're better than doing nothing.
Agreed.
If doing nothing is your idea of financial planning, I guess I could say.
Yeah. I like to build an all-star baseball team with the different fund families.
Correct.
And let's recruit the best shortstop, best pitcher, and do some screening and find some people that make sense to have in the portfolio. How about individual securities?
Well, he says don't buy an individual security because the person on the other side of the trade knows more than you do. And in today's market, that's probably true because something like 90% of all trades are done by institutional investors. So if you think your XYZ company that you love so much is about to take off because it's undervalued, it's probably unlikely that you know something about the stock that the market itself and the collective wisdom of all its participants doesn't know.
Yes,
and so that's probably true. But even more important from a financial planning standpoint is putting individual stocks into your portfolio brings individual company risk into your portfolio.
True.
And stocks are risky enough. We don't need to take individual company risk. Now, maybe that's just a sore point for me because at one time, United Airlines employees were participants in an ESOP where we were owners of the company.
Right.
And our 401k was loaded with United Airlines stuff.
Right.
And you know what happened to that. It all went to zero. So
it's
not a great idea. And you and I both know that most people who do have individual stocks in their portfolio, quite often it is their company stock.
Right. That's exactly right. I don't like to see more than 1% of the portfolio be comprised of any one individual stock. And that's, of course, the advantage of no loads and exchange-traded funds helping to knock down those concentrations. How about just saving 20% of your money? That sounds good.
I think it's important. It's hard to do. It used to be save 10%. You know, when I was growing up and starting out, save 10%. But now without pension plans from our corporations that you're working for, you have to save more. And
that's right.
You know, in the long run, for someone just starting out today, the quality of your retirement lifestyle, although it may be 40, 45 years from now, seems to be like in a different planet and a different universe, but you'll get there soon enough. And the quality of that life is going to be directly proportional to how much you save and invest over the working lifetime.
Very true.
It's not going to have nearly as much effect of what the market does. That's not going to affect your retirement lifestyle nearly as much as how much you save and invest and live within your means.
That's exactly right. And toward that end, maximizing these tax advantage vehicles like Roth, SEPs, 529s, and the like?
Yes.
And then
that's what they're there for. I mean, take advantage of them. Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And then also fees, you know, pay attention to fees and look at what stuff costs before you, again, sign up for that fund that's supposed to be all that.
Right. Everything the market return is shared by investors and managers, basically.
Yeah.
And the lower fee environment that you can maintain in your investment portfolio, the more there's left over for you.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And then make your advisor, we talked about this, make your advisor commit to a fiduciary standard. That actually made the professor's index card.
It did, and he's correct, but I don't think you're going to do anything that's going to change how your advisor does business.
Maybe
you'll find out how they do business.
Right. Yeah.
But they're not going to change their business model.
That's right. They're not going
to
all of a sudden say, oh, okay, yeah, for
I
you.
I never realized that. Let me change that for you. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Yeah, so that really is a choice of what type of standard do you want your advisor to be held to. That's pretty straightforward. And then the other one that was kind of interesting is promoting social insurance program to help people when things go wrong. That seemed to be more of a political thing.
Well, it seemed political to me, so I decided to change it to vote for people who will let you keep more of your own money.
Right.
Let's flip the card after that.
There you go. All right. So we're back of the card now. Number 10, make sure you have adequate amounts of umbrella disability and life insurance because, you know, life does happen.
Yep. Just in case, you and I both know that most people don't have enough liability insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Accidents happen, and you need to protect your assets from events that are unforeseen and usually out of mind, which is why you usually don't have adequate liability insurance.
True.
It's one of the things that we do as financial planners is make insurance planning an make sure the insurance box is checked in all forms of insurance that any individual client or family would need.
Right. Exactly. Very good. And then talking about family, keep your estate planning documents up to date?
Yeah, people don't like to talk about it, but you do have to make it as easy as you can for your heirs and your beneficiaries when that time comes to transfer the wealth that's remaining in your estate to them in an efficient manner. And I have a little note there for collectors, you know, hey, guess what? Your kids don't want your stuff. They want their own stuff.
Yeah.
And
thanks.
I like it if more people understood that.
Yeah, get things organized and cleaned up. You're right. And then talked about college education, making sure that that's a priority, but not a higher priority than retirement.
Yeah, I don't think you can. You can't borrow money to retire. Your kids can borrow money to go to school.
Yeah.
And I think most people probably see the college tuition down the road as a much nearer event than retirement, so they kind of focus on that, maybe to the detriment of planning for or financing their retirement. I think that's a mistake.
Yeah, good point.
For a simple example, you can always take money out of a Roth, money that you've contributed to a Roth, tax-free anytime, penalty-free, tax-free. And if you have to, you can use that to pay for college.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Might not be a good idea, but you can do it.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. Well, good stuff. And for the rest of the story, go to MarketWatch.com, and you can read the rest of George's 20 points. George Sisti's been our guest today, certified financial planner, Seattle, Washington, founder of OnCourse Financial Planning, OnCourseFP.com. George, I appreciate you coming on board. We'll have you come back and talk with us again. And it seems to me we have an endless supply of things that you and I could discuss and being like-minded individuals.
I think so, David. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to chat. I enjoyed it and hope that we can do it again.
We will. Thank you so much.
Okay. Have a good day.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.